is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Another candidate interview today. Talking to Jo Rae Perkins, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. She's vying for the seat currently held by the incumbent Jeff Merkley. Thanks for coming in today.
Great to be here. Thank you, Kyle.
So talk about your occupational background, a little bit about yourself for folks that maybe aren't as familiar.
Okay. Well, my formal occupation right now is U.S. Senate candidate. So my background besides that is I've been in the financial services industry, auto homeowners insurance, investments, real estate, banking. I've also worked at Oregon State University as a support staff and worked in a variety of other small businesses. And my husband is a small business owner.
So talk about other things you've done in terms of serving at government levels.
I've been involved politically with the Republican Party since 1987, starting off with Republican women. And in Albany, I am currently on the Human Relations Commission. It's in one of the commissions in Albany, and so that's an appointed seat. And then I've been involved in other civic groups in Albany throughout the years.
So you ran for the House in the past, and I'm curious, a lot of times people run and don't make it the first time, and a lot of times people say, oh, forget it. What made you decide to run again, and why the Senate this time?
Well, I started off for the Senate in 2014, and so it's where my heart has been, but I felt that I was supposed to stay engaged, and I felt that this was something that I'm supposed to be doing with my life at this point in time, and so I stayed engaged and ran for the House seat in 16 and 18, and then was asked to look at the Senate race again, and here I am.
So talk about, how would you describe maybe the role of the U.S. Senate in terms of what it should be doing?
Well, the role of the U.S. Senate is to follow what the Constitution says. And for those that aren't familiar in the Constitution, it's Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, spells out fairly succinctly what the role is. The House, they are the appropriations. The budget is set by the House. The Senate confers with the House and makes changes or says, yes, let's do that. But the most important duty, in my opinion, of the Senate is to confirm the federal judges and the justices to the Supreme Court. Our judges have a lot to do with the direction that our country goes in. And so to me, that is the most important duty of the U.S. Senate, and that is solely with the Senate. The second most important duty of the Senate is to try the impeachment hearings and to decide should the president be ousted or does the president remain as president.
So you must be very interested then watching the Supreme Court process going on right now.
Yes, it has been excellent. Amy Coney Barrett did a phenomenal job last week on the hearings and answering the questions. I think they're meeting again today, so I'm on the road. So today I don't get to see what's going on, but I'll catch up later.
It seems like Congress is really polarized. People I talk to in both parties, whether they're running for office or they're in office right now, talk about how hard it is to get both parties to make any kind of progress on things. What do you think about the polarization?
We have, it seems that we've got two different factions. Well, one, before I go there, there's kind of two views. The first view is the public perception that the members of Congress don't get along. The reality is that they get along behind the scenes for the most part. But we do seem to have two different factions going on in the country right now. We have those who are the progressives who want more government and less personal freedom. You have the other side who want, like myself, who wants less government and more personal freedom.
And what about that center that there used to be? It seems like people either pull to one side or the other, and you don't see as much of a center these days.
It's really the ideology that we're fighting for right now. So this really is a fight for our country. Do we stay as a republic, or do we become truly a socialist nation? And that's why you're not seeing that middle ground as much. There comes a point in time, it used to say, well, compromise, and I've always been one to negotiate versus compromise. To me, compromise is you're going against your core values, and I think that's always a bad thing. And so we're seeing people are sticking to their core values I respect that whether I agree with them or not. I would rather people see people stick to their core values of what they really believe in, because then we get to see really what they stand for. And that's what I think that voters need to be looking at. What is it that they really stand for? Not they, well, I'm going to reach across the aisle to compromise because now I don't know really where you stand. At the end of the day, though, as citizens, we have more in common than we don't have in common. And I think it's important that those that we elect understand what their job is and what they're being hired to do.
So if you are elected, how would you work with that situation, work with people in both parties?
Well, the first thing is I'm going to look for the common ground. And that first common ground as a senator is we all take the oath of office to uphold the Constitution. That's the framework. And that's where I'm going to be pushing my colleagues, even as a junior senator, to say, this is what we were hired to do. Is this job here? It's right here. That's the job, and that's what we should be striving to do. And we should be striving to make it easier for Americans, for our citizens, to prosper instead of making it harder for them. It seems like we make it harder. At the end of the day, we all want people to be successful. And that's where I will be working on pulling together that commonality, and let's look at how to create success or get out of the way so that success can be created.
Give us some details about some of the key issues that sort of drive your campaign, maybe the national issues that matter the most to you.
Law and order and justice is huge. We are seeing across the nation and in Oregon where people are saying to defund the police. Really what they're saying is they want to reallocate a lot of resources into other areas. And that's where some of those areas such as mental health, they do need to be addressed. But I think that they need to be addressed at the state and the local levels by looking, taking a hard look at those budgets and eliminating the we want this versus we need this type of items. We need to get a handle on the mental health issues because they are driving a lot of the crime that is going on in the country. And so law, order, and justice, and in that I mean it, your social economic status should be irrelevant. Everybody should be judged based upon what they're being charged with when it comes to a legal matter, irrespective of how much money they're worth. Justice is supposed to be blind and it's supposed to be equal. And I think that's really important. The next issue that we have is the fires. And look at what just happened. Some of those were arson. A lot of those were arson. But for the ones that weren't, that were truly wildfires, it's been a clear example of forest mismanagement by not getting into the forest and reducing the fuel that starts those fires and keeps them going. And the other factor is taking a look and saying, what is this idea? How sensible is it? What kind of common sense comes with this to just let a fire burn because it was started by lightning? That doesn't make sense. And for those friends that are quote unquote environmentalists, we have so much more in common with each other than we don't, because we all want clean air. We all want clean water. We want our forests to be beautiful. But if they burn up, they're not beautiful. We want wildlife protected. Of course we do. But if there's a fire, on average, 200 animals die per acre in the forest fires. And so we've got the friends on the other side on the environmental side, don't do this because we might lose this, but then it catches on fire and they're going, well, just let it burn, it's natural. That doesn't make sense to me. And so, again, it's getting back to common sense and looking for those commonalities.
Right now, we've just kind of got the cleanup phase from the Archie Creek fire around here. But moving forward, and about half of that land, I think the last stat I saw, was private land owned by various people, but the rest different agencies in government. We've seen in past fires, after a big fire takes place, that the response in terms of cleanup, what's done, what's salvaged, what's not salvaged, really varies. And a lot of people have been critical of how much just sits there on federal land and nothing happens for a long time.
And that's big problems with the federal regulations that are in place. They need to be completely changed. I am not a fan of the federal government being involved for the most part on our land. I'm not convinced that it's constitutional. And I would rather see that more in a local control, whether in local, starting at the state and on down. so that a lot of that timber can be salvaged and can be used. And if it's not usable for wood products, there's other products that it can be used for, such as converting it into biofuel. And that's the things that we need to look at when those trees stay there, when that burnt timber sits there. It is a magnet for disease. And so we need to get that taken care of.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back from Joe Ray Perkins, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1, KQEN Local Talk at 4 later today. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth Radio. And the incumbent in the U.S. Senate, Jeff Merkley. Senator joins us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. The Republican candidate, Joe Ray Perkins, in Roseburg this afternoon. Talk about the federal budget deficit. How should Congress be dealing with that growing issue?
Oh, that's such a fabulous topic. When I started this journey in 2010, the federal deficit was about $10 trillion, and we're over $27 trillion today, and those are numbers that we can't even fathom. The best thing to do is start taking a critical look at what, again, the role of the federal government is, and start scaling back. There's so much waste, fraud, and abuse in virtually every agency in the federal government that we really need to take a look at seriously auditing those. One of the areas that we can cut back in, and I've talked to two different agencies, their computer networks are so far outdated, they hire more staff to get the work done instead of updating the computer systems. Well, it's a lot more expensive to hire employees than it is to update and upgrade the computer systems. So I look at that and go, well, this doesn't make sense. Now, of course, I want to see people employed. But when we employ more people, that's more tax dollars, and that's more money out of our pockets. So that gives us less to spend and to spur the economy on. So we need to seriously take a look at what we should be doing, cut back the duplication. There's a ton of duplication. And we need to take a look at what, again, is the role of the federal versus the role of the states, and start filtering that, those things that should be left to the states, back to the state responsibility.
Right now, with everything going on with COVID-19, even today, there's discussion about whether the Democratic leadership and the president can achieve some kind of agreement on a stimulus package, which would, again, contribute to the budget deficit.
They're talking, so the Republican side wants $1.8 trillion. The Democrat side wants $2.8 trillion. These numbers are, again, unfathomable. I'm going to put it in perspective real quick. If I spend $1 million every day, it would take me over 2,700 years to spend $1 trillion. So I hope that puts that into perspective for people, what that looks like. I try to spend $1 million a day. Well, our government is doing that more than that, and it's just too much. The question is, why do we need the stimulus? It's the governors that have kept us in this deficit cycle as far as the states go. Oregon, $1.8 billion shortfall. That's not the fault of the president. It's not the fault of the federal government. That is the fault of the governors going, oh, we're going to give in to this, and telling people to stay home. Don't go to work. Your jobs aren't essential. Well, their jobs are essential, essential to their mental health, essential to their families, and essential to the income base of the government here in the states. So I think it's important that the governors start taking a look, and specifically here in Oregon, Kate Brown, start taking a look. She doesn't like the president, but yet she wants the president to give $1.8 billion to take care of the budget deficit.
A lot of roads and bridges in Oregon and around the U.S. are kind of getting to the end of their useful life because of the infrastructure build up in the 60s and 70s, and that's something that's being looked at and being talked about. What about those issues as they apply to Oregon?
So again, it's taking a look, are those federal highways or are those state highways? This is a lack of planning. When you buy a home, you should always be putting money aside for maintenance. That's just normal. When you buy a car, you need to save money for maintenance. Well, the government is really good on their budgeting. If they don't spend it all this year, they don't get as much next year, and that type of budgeting needs to go away. You need to budget like businesses do, with 5-year projections, 2-year projections, taking a look at equipment replacement, at maintenance, and start treating the people's money like a business. It is a business. Government is a huge business, and it's time that we have people with business minds taking a look at it and again, getting rid of this archaic, if we don't spend it all this year, we lose it all, because then there's nothing for the rainy day, not what we need. There may be some, but not near what is needed to take care of that. This county, the cities, the states, they're going to have to take a look at some where they're going to be able to cut to be able to take care of the infrastructure that needs to get properly maintained.
How would you evaluate Senator Merkley and the work he's done while he's been in the Senate?
I would not rate him very highly. He is one of the most liberal senators there. I believe there's only one that is more liberal than him, and that would be Bernie Sanders. He supports the Green New Deal, which would cost us a lot of jobs and cost us a lot of money to go to that, where they want to get rid of petroleum. I don't know how they think we're going to get around from point A to point B. But I have not seen him really come out with very many good ideas that really help Oregonians. He talks about helping in the Forest Service industry, but yet nothing really is happening. The logging is well below sustainability. We need to get the mines open back up again, which President Bush just signed an executive order. So here in Southern Oregon, where there's a lot of mining opportunities, there's some great job opportunities to where we can get that mining going, those rare earth metals, put that into production, look at building some smelting factories and processing factories for those rare earth minerals that they mine. And I think that that's the way to do it. Less government, more jobs.
What do you think the most important change you would make if you took the office of Senate?
Number one, my staff and I will read every bill before I vote on it. We're going to look to make sure that it is constitutional. And if we cannot get that unconstitutional provision out of a bill, I'm going to have to vote no. And everybody will know why I'm voting no. It's very important that we do the job according to the job description. And that's what I'm asking people to vote for me for, that. Number two, the justices, the judges are huge. We need those. We need constitutional judges and justices. Pardon me.
That's when a phone goes off in the middle of the background. There we go.
That's what happens, yeah. And I forgot to hit the mute button on it. Our Second Amendment rights are huge. We have the right to bear arms for self-protection, especially in this era where we've got so many people say defund the police. Well, even before that, if there's an emergency, I cannot get a law enforcement officer to me fast enough because I don't carry a policeman with me. So we need to be able to, for self-protection, just in case. Hopefully we never have to use self-protection. I would like to live in that utopian society like everybody else, but reality is reality. So protecting our Second Amendment rights. And then finally, our First Amendment rights. We are seeing so much censorship right now on social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. They are censoring other media outlets and voices of the people, and that is wrong. This is America. We don't have a government where we're censoring. And these entities that go, well, we're just social media, they've become news outlets, disseminators of information, and they cross that line. And if people want to know where that's at, it's in the Department of Justice, Section 230, and they can read what's going on, and that needs to be taken care of. I have 17 YouTube channels that were shut down. One of them is a local guy. He was suspended for until Wednesday, Scott Kesterson with Bards FM. So this is not a good thing that they're shutting down, so we need to make sure that our freedom of speech and freedom of the press are protected.
Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Joey Perkins, thanks for coming in.
You bet. My website is perkinsforussenate.vote.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.